The OWC Envoy Pro EX with Thunderbolt 3 is the ultimate external SSD, inside and out. Designed for demanding mobile workflows that require extreme portability, the OWC Envoy Pro EX delivers a military drop test enclosure and a protective impact-absorbing bumper for added security. And with elite speeds up to 2,800 megabytes per second, the Envoy Pro EX provides performance for creative professionals in need of ultra-fast backup, duplication, and editing. Learn more at owc.com/into.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This here is the Into Tomorrow broadcast for the weekend of March 8th, 2019, as I recover from my birthday week. End of the week, so it's happened. If you haven't seen some of the fun pictures, Chris had me walk into the studio the other day on my birthday and see the old zone blow-up barricades, construction hat, safety cones, bizarre stuff. You've got to check it out. It's all up there at my Facebook page, so fb.com/Dave Graveline, just like it sounds. And friend me. I'll friend you back, and we'll have some fun. But do check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. It's quite funny, and I made Chris promise that we save it now for everyone else's birthday, because everyone around me is catching up to me age-wise.
Are you going to wait for us to catch up?
I don't think I'll be able to round that long to wait for you to catch up. That voice you hear is none other than
Beth Gatrell.
My voice is Dave Graveline, and this voice,
Chris Graveline.
And the voice in the control room is, he doesn't want to say.
That would be Erasmo.
Erasmo El Maño.
Erasmo El Maño in the control room. And he just looked and laughed and shook his head. So
he likes to be behind the scenes.
The resident Italian.
Yeah, there you go. I would have let you say your name in Italian. I think we said your name in Italian anyway.
Oh. I can say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Erasmo.
Erasmo.
See? Just let him talk Italian.
We Americanize it and say Erasmo, but it's Erasmo. See, much better. And Horatio in New York.
Horacio.
Horacio, that's true.
Yeah, he's
that's
not true. Italian.
That's like next month I'll be in Andalusia, Spain, which I've been told by a lot of my Latin friends, would you please say Andalusia? Because that's how you pronounce it. I went, how do you know? You're not from there. You know, one of them's from Ecuador, the other's from Puerto Rico, another one's from Cuba. This is Spain, real Spanish. And they said, well, it's definitely not Andalusia. I went, well, okay.
And you go out of your way to pronounce Barcelona with a T-H, so you might as well pronounce that one correctly, too.
You mean Barcelona?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's how they say it there.
There,
well,
not here.
Yes, but I've been there many times for Mobile World Congress, and it's Barcelona. But when I get to Andalusia, or whatever the heck it's called, in Spain, which is right by the border of Portugal, and I'll be there for a global press conference that I moderate every year where they bring 400 journalists from around the world and we talk about trends in tech and all kinds of cool stuff leading up to our, this will be our 17th year, I think, broadcasting from IFA in Berlin in September.
For the International Funkausstellung.
Which is no longer called that. It's just
right.
IFA.
Yeah, well.
Just like CES doesn't stand for anything.
Right.
Doesn't stand for Consumer Electronics Show, that you know that's what it is. But this doesn't. Anyway, so how do we get off on that? Because
you mispronounced some city.
Yeah. That. No.
So we should have bought you a dictionary for your birthday?
No. No. Come on. I'm a talk show host. I talk good.
Like Dictionary.com trolling, Forbes on Twitter this last week.
Yes, for the self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
And who was it?
Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner.
They're tweeting out the definition of self-made. And,
right.
Yeah.
That she was not self-made, a self-made billionaire. Jenner did not make that money herself.
At least not the most of it.
Right, yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Tech news and commentary. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. For all the program directors listening, saying, why don't they keep with their own tech format instead of yakking about all this other stuff?
You can order that stuff online. That's techie.
Yes. In our last story, we were talking about Twitter. That's tech.
Oh, that's true. One way or the other, we cover ourselves.
So, speaking of online.
Yeah, all right. There's a good segue.
Google's Art and Culture Division has teamed up with museums around the world to honor science and human discovery. They have a collaboration of videos and images that contain over 200,000 artifacts from around the world, including a NASA virtual universe and a Big Bang story. So, right from the comfort of your own home and your PJs, you can visit museums all around the world.
I smell a cool tech tip coming up in the near future, slightly into tomorrow, from Beth talking about touring museums from the comfort of your own computer.
Maybe.
I wouldn't recommend your own smartphone, because you want to really experience a museum, you should look at it on a much bigger screen.
I agree. Even maybe a smart TV. You never know.
Yeah. Cast it to your TV. Or if you have a foldable phone that becomes a tablet, there you go.
I miss my foldable phone when I'm angry and want to hang up.
Well, but that was different. That was a flip phone. It was not a... Well, it did fold, but it wasn't the screen folding. But that's true. We could all really get upset with people and go click. Although I've seen so many people that have been upset with someone that they're on the phone with and throw their cell phone across the room. It's like, why are you doing, if you're upset with that person, unless that person's going to buy you a new phone, why would you abuse your electronics like that?
I did that once with my phone, and I regretted it before my phone even hit the ground.
Yes. You went, I didn't mean to do that.
You know, many times when I was dictating an angry text to my phone where I wish the phone could pick up on my tone as I'm doing this text, you know, it doesn't have the same effect as, you know, as when I'm screaming at it.
Well, it can if you send, like, anger emojis, and I like the anger emoji with a censored thing across its mouth, because clearly I'm cursing at you.
Although, when autocorrect comes in and they mess up your angry text and they make it not so angry.
Oh, no, I turned that off long ago. The first time I cursed into my phone and it just gave me asterisks, I went, oh, no. Someone's going to know exactly what I'm saying, and I had to go and, you know, turn off the censoring.
Well, I sent a text, I think it was to my ex-mother-in-law, before she was my ex-mother-in-law one time, and I was dictating it, and I sent it, and then I was reading it, and then I realized it put in a bad word when I didn't say a bad word. It replaced something, I forget what I was saying, but it replaced it with the F word, so I immediately had to follow that up with a very quick text and say, oops, that's not what I said.
Well, see, especially when you're texting certain people that you certainly don't want to curse at, you know, your priest or something, whatever, you want to read it before you hit send to make sure it's accurate. Things aren't looking up for music downloads. Looking at the latest Recording Industry Association of America stats about music revenue, streaming accounted for 75%. With $7.4 billion spent, vinyl has CDs in its sights. Who would have thunk it? Records coming back so dramatically. $419 million worth of vinyl, and downloads are still tracking backwards, with a drop from 1.4 billion to just over 1 billion. I'll bet that's sweet music to the ears of streaming services, though. See my play on words there? See what I did? But because streaming service, 75% of us are streaming music.
I usually
rather than download
to my
or otherwise.
Streaming music.
And Chris all the time. You know, he's telling Alexa or Siri or somebody or Amazon, whatever, play your pop hits or something. Clean. I always get the kick out of that when Cameron's in the car. Play pop hits. Clean.
And two of my friends just recently purchased turntables so they could hear vinyl. However, they do have Bluetooth capability.
Well, that's nice. But those who have not experienced it, I mean, Erasmo can tell you, too, the difference is pristine.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have a good stylus, a good needle, if you will. And true audiophiles have never left vinyl. And the fact that they're loving the resurgence of it, because if you've never, and a lot of the young people, and by young I mean under 30, 35 even, that have never played records, are putting on headphones or cranking up speakers and playing something that they may have been familiar with as an MP3 and realizing there is no comparison. The quality is amazing. And if you've not done that, then by all means, go in, if there's still any left, to a record store and play a song on a turntable that you're familiar with otherwise. And you will hear things you never heard before.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times there's no substitute for good analog audio. I mean, before I was full-time in radio, I worked around a lot of recording studios. And this one particular studio, big famous studio in North Miami, they were still using in like the mid-2000s 20-30-year-old tube amplifiers because they sounded so much better than the new digital amplifiers.
And this was a studio that did all the Bee Gees stuff, and Saturday Night Fever was recorded there, and so among other things, Eagles. A lot of famous groups had recorded there, and you figure they knew what they were doing in terms of sound. And you talk to not only true audiophiles, but true recordists, those engineers and so forth, and they're just so upset with MP3 because it's crap compared to real music. And people that are thinking, they don't know any better. Oh, I like this song. Oh, it has some really interesting effects or sounds really nice. You're not doing yourself any justice if you don't hear it on vinyl. Especially. I mean, you hear an analog. Our ears are analog, aren't they?
Yeah.
Unless you're a robot.
Most of us.
Most of us. So think about that.
Mm-hmm. Facebook wants to make your profile an online gravesite when you shuffle off this mortal coil. They are adding a new feature for memorialized accounts, which will allow users to leave messages in a tributes section that is separate from the timeline of the account. The company is describing the new tribute section as a space on memorialized profiles where friends and family can share memories of a loved one.
Now, since Beth is the oldest, she's already set up, I forget what it's called, but she'll be my memorial person.
She's your legacy contact.
Legacy contact.
Right. Facebook allows you to designate a legacy contact, which after you croak, then that person can then...
Nice. It was just my birthday, and he's already talking about when you croak, you know, it's just because it's a simple matter, it's going to happen. So when that does happen...
Well, you know, it's no longer good enough to just have like a will, a last will and testament. Now you have to, you know, designate your Facebook legacy contact.
Facebook legacy. Well, that would be Beth, but she's going to no doubt need your help to do whatever it is you're describing.
Oh, trust me. It involves tech. I know she's going to need my help.
I can answer your peeps. It's all right. I got Facebook.
Yes, but you have to, or I will haunt you. You have to allow people to, are they actual audio messages or video messages or just
It's typing out, but it's separate from the timeline or the wall on, you know, it's an actual new section.
So be sure and moderate it. Cut out the people that hated me. You know, I got two ex-wives and among other people. So, and all the people I arrested as a cop, you know, if they try to
thank God he croaked already
or something. You're not going to block them?
I said, I'm not into the whole unfriending and blocking. I don't play with those dramas.
But then I hope you at least say something like, now that's not nice. He's dead. Something nice
that
or not at all. Okay.
I'll moderate that for you.
That's pretty sad. I can imagine a lot of folks listening now saying, why are you talking like that? It's bad enough your last name is Graveline.
We just like to be prepared.
There you go.
There's a nice new title for your online legacy page, you know, Dave's Graveline.
Oh, timeline.
There you go. And remember, I want my tombstone to say, this just in the ground.
Oh, we're putting you in the ground?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, let the worms eat me. What the heck? I don't like heat. So I think, you know, unless you fill my body with unpopped popcorn kernels, don't cook me.
I always say I wanted to be cremated because that's my last chance to have a smoking hot body.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
And the other requirement.
Oh.
Regular listeners are already yelling at it at the radio, telling everyone.
You have to be buried with a Wi-Fi hotspot, solar powered.
Yeah. Just in case. Because if anybody can figure out how to communicate
you
with
know,
you afterwards.
You don't get any solar down there.
Well, no, you're going to run a little wire and then put a little solar panel.
And we'll put a cell phone in there with you that's you know, got service and plugged in all the time. So that's your grave line to be able to.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Are we actually talking about all this on the air? I think we are.
We can get back to some tech news. Or we can take a call.
That's not nearly as much fun. Let's take a call.
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Save us. Yes, Patricia in North Carolina, save us. Welcome into tomorrow.
I'm most concerned about the 5G that's going to be throughout the United States. I have concerns about it. And I have concerns about the smart meters that are on our buildings. I wanted to hear someone tell me whether or not they've been exploding or catching on fire.
Oh, geez. Well, Patricia, it's what we have now, but a little faster, you might sort of think, right? It will enable technology to take on more interactive tasks than what we have now, but we're already surrounded by the smart everything. Now, as for smart meters... Some have caught on fire in recent years, true, but what caused that was the meter part, not the smart part, if you will. They were just poorly built meters. The scary part about smart meters is how granular the information they record is. Since we know how much electricity typical devices use, smart meters could, in theory, tell you things like when someone turned on a TV.
And now for anyone with the access to get your data to bother working out the numbers to see what you were doing at home, well, there must be a pretty big reason behind it because it seems like an awful lot of work.
Yeah, and why would they care, right? Yeah.
Now, if you really want to be scared of technology...
Oh, no.
Yeah, how's this one? We're teaching autonomous cars which humans' lives are worth less. That's scary. Then again, we've always been scared of change, and we have an anti-electricity poster from the early 1900s on our website to prove it. So you have
to come
by and see that.
I just took a look at this poster that's on intotomorrow.com. You got to check it out, Patricia, because this was to scare people. Electricity is a bad thing. You do not want electricity in your neighborhood. Oh, my gosh, avoid it at all costs. Interesting poster. Again, the early 1900s, and you'll see it at intotomorrow.com. Do check it out.
In today's connected world, high-speed internet is a necessity. Luckily, where you live no longer means missing out on a fast connection. Do what we did and get HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet Gen 5 delivers the speed you need where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you, too. Text RADIO to 35,000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35,000. HughesNet, high-speed satellite internet available where you live and work.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. What do Apple, Microsoft, HP, and Google all have in common besides being massive tech companies? They were all started in a garage. A little Into Tomorrow tech information for you as well.
That's my problem. I don't have a garage.
There you go. So that's what's happening. That voice was Chris Graveline, and Beth Gatrell is over here on the other side of that microphone as well. And what else is happening?
This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System.
Ah.
Know before you go high or low with customizable alerts and alarms. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Don't forget to groom your computer's data. Here with some helpful advice is Ken Higgins with OWC. Ken?
Thanks, Dave. We all know grooming is important, but did you know that also applies to your computer? Keep your computer's files from becoming a mess by performing some routine disk maintenance. Apps such as Apple's Disk First Aid and Windows Disk Cleanup ensure your computer is running at top speed and keep your computer in top shape. In many cases, these apps can alert you to repair issues before they become problems, protecting your data and alerting you to possible disk drive failures, and routinely empty your trash can and delete older programs and files no longer needed. A little grooming means a happier computer. And now, back to you, Dave.
Thank you, Ken. And that's, of course, absolutely what you want is a happy computer. It will take better care of you. So don't forget to groom your computer. More information, we invite you to visit owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into. And while we prefer your calls because we want to hear you and hear your inflection and your excitement or your disappointment in tech, whatever, we do read the occasional email. But when you email us, be sure to tell us how you listen to the show and where you're emailing from. Like Greg, that's all we have. But he says the following.
He asks, in performing a Windows 10 update, the computer only displays a percentage of the download and then only a percentage of working on updates. Is there a way to update Windows 10 in verbose mode so that I can monitor its progress more closely and see what is being updated?
Well, Greg, you won't find a verbose mode during install in Windows 10, but you can still have kind of a good look at what Windows did while it was updating your system.
Yeah, Windows keeps a log of what it installs in a file called windowsupdate.log, and it should clue you into what Windows has been doing behind those progress bars. Now, there's an option to log even more information, but unless you're looking for detailed diagnostic data, the extra lines will likely slow you down more than they will help.
And Windows has some good documentation on how to access these logs, but it's full of not-so-radio-friendly commands like git/windows update log. So rather than making guess on how to spell all that stuff to Windows' satisfaction, we'll link you to Microsoft's own documentation on this week's show notes on our website.
There you go. So you want to visit intotomorrow.com and look for the show notes for the broadcast of the weekend for March 8th. Remember, we use the Friday dates. And then look for hour two. You'll see Greg's email and our response with those appropriate links. So we hope that that does help you out. When you call in, you hopefully win stuff. See, that's the other idea for calling in, because it makes a difference.
Call in, win stuff. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Cameron, because that's what we want to do. We want to hear from you. And the number to call, very easy. Here, grab a pen, because Beth is about to share with you the number that you can dial anytime, day or night, 24/7, and we'll be delighted to help you with anything tech.
And that number is 800-899-4686 or 800-899-INTO.
Yeah, it's not like that number or the other number. It's because it's one number. It just spells INTO at the end.
Either you're pressing numbers or you're looking for letters.
Or looking for letters.
Save us to your favorites in your phone.
There you go. Intotomorrow.com. We'll meet you there.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value. Some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the three-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662-6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Because you don't even read the manual back when there used to be one, you're tuned into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. Thanks for joining us. We're here to answer any consumer tech questions you may have. We can be your user manual, if you will, with anything involving consumer technology. And we've been doing it for some 23 years, so we're happy to help you anytime, 24/7. You can dial the following toll-free number. It's toll-free from anywhere in North America. Skype into it from anywhere in the world if you'd like. We want to hear from you. I kind of hold your hand through the process. You'll see what I mean when you call. And then automatically you get prizes. You don't just qualify for some. You get them. Call in, win stuff is a good mantra for Into Tomorrow. And you can do it anytime or use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. So the number to call might be the old-fashioned way, but still works the best anytime at your leisure, 800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. If you still have one of those things that they used to call landlines, you might have to dial a 1 first, but it's free anyway. So we just want to hear from you. Let us answer your questions, solve your digital dilemmas, and see if we can't help others with similar issues at the same time. It's all about joining us on Into Tomorrow. And joining us from a data science company that specializes in big data, blockchain, and NLP. We'll find out what all that means, too. And quantum mental research. That scares me. We welcome the co-founder and CTO of Hercules Tech, Kenneth Goodman. Kenneth, welcome Into Tomorrow. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for the nice intro.
Oh, it's my pleasure. First of all, let's talk a little bit about what it is that your company as a data science company does. I think one of the first things we should identify for listeners who may not be familiar, we hear the term big data. What does that mean?
Sure. So everyone's got a different sort of level where it becomes big. So we're on the 50 terabyte level, maybe closer to 100 terabytes worth of data revolving around blockchain and everything that you can find about crypto assets and other financial assets.
Gotcha.
At this point, we've been mainly focusing it because of cryptomania on cryptocurrencies.
Okay.
But we don't only target those.
Gotcha. So it's certainly more than we'd have on our personal computer, laptop, or otherwise.
Sure.
big data, yeah. And then that brings us to blockchain. And we seem to get a lot of different answers from a lot of different people as to how what they perceive blockchain is. So what is it that you guys are doing? How do you describe blockchain?
Sure. So the blockchain is an append-only distributed ledger. And all that really means is that everyone keeps track of how much money everyone's spending. And if anyone spends more money than they have, you realize that they're cheating, or if they spend money that they've already spent, because each of these sort of have a serial number. And so if you spend the same money twice, everyone sees it because it's all public. Every time you spend money, you have to tell everyone, I'm spending this money.
It's almost like the wife who finally admits she's going to Victoria's Secret too much and spending a lot of money. The husband finds out.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's not quite like that, but in a sense of everybody knows what you're spending in terms of cryptocurrency. So in this case, that's where blockchain comes in, kind of keeping it safe, but making it public in that sense. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is pseudo-anonymous. So it's not that I say I'm spending the money. I just say someone with the same sort of like username is spending the money. And if someone wants to track down who you are, they can. And also, when you send money, you're not saying I'm sending it to Victoria's Secret or Gap or wherever else you're sending it. You're saying I'm sending it to this other username.
Gotcha. All right. And then that brings us, again, all part of your introduction still to NLP, which is?
Natural language processing.
Uh-huh.
So we look at text data and how that relates to sentiment, or how investors and retail investors are feeling about their investment. And so whether or not they think they should put more money in, they should pull out some money and sell, whether they're unsure. And it's a little harder to gauge institutional investors, but there are millions of tweets from retail investors that give you sort of a good eye into their minds.
Gotcha. And as such, that differs from, like, say, the stock market. How? I mean, because it still is a matter of how does one feel? Are they investing too much, too little? Do they put in more? Do they take out less? That kind of a thing.
Sure. Yeah. I would say the same people are doing the same thing in the stock market, and Bloomberg offers very similar data to what we've built out in the equities world. But for our world, there isn't a lot of people collecting this data. And those that are will see that the data is different because this market is more retail heavy in terms of the percentage of users that are retail versus in the stock market.
Gotcha. All right. It certainly sounds like a more exciting, depending on whether it's pro or con, but certainly a more exciting way than the typical stock market scenarios.
Sure. It's way more volatile, which leads to way more randomness, but also there's small patterns that you can recognize that haven't been sort of figured out yet. And so we're trying to figure out a lot of those patterns and sell that.
Gotcha. And of course, again, part of the intro brings us to the quantum mental research. So this is where you guys, I guess, at Hercules Tech really dig into what's going on, especially with cryptocurrency, the fallout of Bitcoin and mining and all these kinds of issues.
Sure. Yeah. So this would be sort of quantitative fundamental research. So looking at fundamentally how do a lot of these currencies move, and because a lot of this data is public, we can look at each of the data sets and each of the cryptocurrencies and try and figure out what is actually happening underneath the hood. And then we bring that into some quantitative metric and aggregate that in some specific way depending on the currency.
And I like that, what's going on underneath the hood, because I think a whole lot of people are trying to figure that out anyway. So if you've got a company such as yours that can try to help shed some light, turn on that work light under the hood, then they certainly need it.
Yeah, I would say so. We've gotten a lot of demand, and we've found this data very useful.
Okay, now that brings us to, I mentioned the fallout of Bitcoin mining and Tether. What is Tether, first of all?
Sure. Tether is a cryptocurrency that was built on top of the Omni blockchain, which works very similar to the Bitcoin blockchain. And so they are a company, Tether Limited, that says that if you give us $1, we'll give you one Tether. And if you give us one Tether, we'll give you $1. They've come up with under a lot of hot water in the last about 12 months as they've printed about $2 billion of these guys. which would indicate that they've received $2 billion in U.S. dollars. The question everyone is asking is, did they actually receive the money? Do they even have the money? So if they didn't receive the money, did they print the money, buy Bitcoin, sell Bitcoin for cash, and then now have the dollars afterwards? Or is this really just money unbacked at all? And so a lot of people are trying to figure that out because Tether is a big staple for a lot of cryptocurrency exchanges.
Hmm. And it seems to me that for the most part, most people have been saying, nah, not for me, whatever. I barely am even in the stock market. Maybe my 401k or something or some retirement plan makes reference to it. But Bitcoin, just beyond anything that I want to be dealing with right now. But yet your research finds that more and more people are getting into these things.
Yes. I think it came out recently that 1/4 of all households in South Korea own cryptocurrencies, and in the U.S., it's around 1/10 of all households. And we're finding those numbers are definitely a little stagnant in the recent bearish market, but it's still pretty strong comparatively to the number of people that invest in the stock market.
See, I can hear a lot of my audience thinking, yeah, we do a whole lot less of it in the U.S. because we're smarter people, that we don't get so involved in this. Yet there are very smart people that are doing it and apparently are making some money doing it. Although, as you said earlier, are they really? Is it happening? Do they have the money? Is it just this sort of digital currency that's floating around and you can't do anything with it? Or are they doing anything?
Sure. Yeah, you can definitely spend your Bitcoin to buy things at even a coffee shop. There is multiple companies that will transact your Bitcoin into dollars so they give you maybe a debit card that has Bitcoins on it, and they'll transact it into dollars when you spend it, so that the merchant doesn't know. There are companies that will go to merchants and say accept Bitcoin, and then we'll give you dollars. So it's definitely a slow adoption, but again, this currency has only been out 9 years now, so it still hasn't been that long, and we are a long ways away. And not saying that Bitcoin will be the one that everyone accepts, but it's a little early to say that we won't have any adoption.
There's a pizza place nearby our studios that actually has a Bitcoin ATM. Now, I've never seen anyone actually using it, but it's there. And I guess if someone is trading in Bitcoin, what better than to actually get pizza? Now you've got something that you can eat that truly shows that whatever Bitcoin stuff you were dealing with has benefited you in some way, making you fatter perhaps. But hey, it's pizza. So I guess it's a slow implementation, but it seems to me that maybe the owner of the pizza place, it's probably one of those that says, hey, I believe in cryptocurrency, and I'm going to show my support by putting in an ATM for Bitcoin.
Sure. Yeah, in the U.S. and Korea, it's been slow in terms of merchant adoption. Mm-hmm. In Japan, there's something like 400,000 stores that accept Bitcoin directly.
Wow.
You don't even have to go to an ATM. So these are merchants that are willing to take Bitcoin. And what they do with it afterwards varies, obviously. So it is happening, and it is slow. But that what comes first has to be the infrastructure to support the price of these currencies,
yeah.
And then the merchants will start accepting it.
Kenneth, I'm sorry. Allow me to interrupt right now. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and learn more from the co-founder and CTO of Hercules Tech. See if we can't make even more sense, or some sense, out of this Bitcoin mining, among other things, and cryptocurrency as Into Tomorrow continues.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
Welcome back into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We're talking with Kenneth Goodman, the co-founder and CTO of Hercules Tech. And we talk about Bitcoin mining. Does that mean that it's basically just folks that are dealing with buying or selling these cryptocurrencies? Is that what the mining part means?
It works a little differently. So each cryptocurrency works very differently. And so we'll just speak about Bitcoin because it's the first one, and a lot of the other ones derive similar algorithms. Mm-hmm. But the way that Bitcoin mining works is that there is some lottery where everyone tries to guess the winning lottery number. And as soon as someone guesses it, they get to what they say is mine a block. And so they get to mine a block of transactions, which means that going back to our append-only transaction database, they get to say that all these transactions are valid. And so every 10 minutes, about 2,000 transactions get added to this append-only transaction ledger. And so the miner is the actual one who decides which 2,000 transactions get onto the ledger. Hmm. And they get rewarded pretty handsomely at a rate of something like 13 Bitcoins per block mined. So at a rate of $7,000 a Bitcoin, that's a hefty profit.
Yeah,
$90,000.
That adds up kind of quickly. Real quick, because speaking of quickly, we're nearly out of time already, but just trying to make sure that we and our audience get a better handle on what's going on. I understand some of your research at Hercules Tech has been talking about small towns have become a big issue in terms of Bitcoin mining. Why is that?
Sure. So some people are worried about the energy consumption that a lot of Bitcoin mining rigs. So to guess these numbers, you want to guess as many numbers as fast as possible. And so you generate very hot. These computers are generating a lot of numbers, so they become very hot because they're overworked. And so people are afraid about the energy consumption. But I would say, on the other hand, because we have so many people trying to guess, the system is so secure. And this is a very technical argument. And I would urge your listeners to go dive deeper. But just like we're willing to spend money on security guards for gold, we're spending money for energy to produce the energy to secure the network.
So it's really, if someone's computer gets some malware that can be mining Bitcoins or any of these cryptocurrencies, it's really just sucking up CPU power, right? It's just your machine is processing like crazy. It might be slower. We had a guest from Norton Antivirus, Symantec, last week that was really talking about this has become a major issue just in the last few months, really, where people's machines are being taken over. So what do you do about it?
Yeah, there's really nothing to do outside of regular standard practices. This is a standard malware. They get, rather than stealing your credit card information, they're stealing your CPU power.
Yeah.
And so people have figured out how to tokenize or assetize all assets in some way. And so this is the way moving forward. Instead of just having credit cards and money, we start having even CPU power have some digital representation and some monetary value.
Wow. And it really is using up that much energy, no doubt. I mean, we're talking about not just small towns, but he was making reference to, if you've noticed your electric bill gone up, it could very well be that. I mean, it's really that dramatic of an increase in energy?
Yeah. To mine one Bitcoin in many countries around the world, average is about $2,500 in electricity costs.
Holy cow.
Across the entire network. So that's... It's a lot of money, and this is every 10 minutes, and there's 12 and a half Bitcoin, so you got to multiply that by 12 and a half. Every 10 minutes is how much money is being spent on electricity around the world.
Wow. So that's amazing, because I think most of us are thinking, yeah, okay, well, I'm just not involved in cryptocurrency. It's just not for me, so never mind. I'm not worried. Well, we should be, and making sure that you keep your virus definitions up, that you've updated anything so that any malware, including this, can be detected and hopefully removed or blocked from your machine is absolutely important for all of us.
Yeah, I would say just like any other virus protection, we should always be careful not to allow malware onto our systems. This is just another attack that those that are malicious are trying to exploit.
HerculesTech.us is the site. We'll link you there, too, of course, when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Kenneth, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. I worry that a lot of us may be more confused than before we started, but by the same token, if we at least got out that important point about keeping your computer up to date and all the antivirus and so forth, then I think we've accomplished something very important there. And for that, we thank you.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you again.
All righty, terrific. HerculesTech.us, and you'll see what they're all about, including the big data and blockchain and NLP and the whole quantamental research, bringing us all the way into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue on the Advanced Media Network.
Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $15,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. National Debt Relief has helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our Debt Reset Program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our Debt Reset Program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-213-5082. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the Debt Reset Program can work for you. Call 800-213-5082. That's 800-213-5082. 800-213-5082.
Today, more pictures are taken every 2 minutes than were taken in the entire 19th century. That's, I guess, you cool. could also say 18th and 17th and 16th century, yeah. too. But we had cameras in the 19th century. Well, today, every 2 minutes, more pictures are taken than that entire 100 years. Go figure. It's because we can. This is Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Beth Gatrell.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by OWC, providing super-fast SSDs for photographers and videographers. Get special products and pricing for Into Tomorrow listeners at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Erasmo goes there very frequently. He does. He mentions it. OWC.com/INTO for the show. Products, pricing, special goodies. Margaret in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, listens on AM 800 CKLW. Hello there.
Hi, Dave. I'm not that swift with my computer. I need speakers for my computer. I would like to know which ones you would recommend, because sometimes it's not very loud when I listen to YouTube or listen to messages on my computer. I would like to know what you would recommend, please. I would appreciate it. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, Margaret. Your computer almost certainly has an audio output in the form of a headphone jack, at least. So you could opt for Bluetooth speakers, Wi-Fi speakers, or any of thousands of different sophisticated and expensive speakers. But it sounds like you're really after just some volume.
Yeah, now if that's it, if you're not worried about the quality or the ability to play something on your computer and walk away with the speaker to listen to it somewhere else or anything like that, you might as well just get some inexpensive generic speakers. For example, for $25, you can buy a Logitech set that includes a subwoofer on Amazon. The same kind of setup from CyberAcoustic goes for about $35.
Yeah, and of course the idea for a subwoofer gives you some more bass, so it'll just sound a lot better.
And if you don't need wireless, shockproof, smart, or any of those other expensive features, you don't really need to spend big money to get some louder volume out of your computer, and any speaker that takes in audio from a 3.5 millimeter jack will cost less these days and deliver what you need.
Yeah, you'll probably find some very inexpensive ones at your local Walmart, Target, any kind of store like that, yeah. even.
Very true. And, of course, you can also choose some headphones. If you just want to sit and listen to some music or other content in one spot and you're not going to move around, get a decent pair of headphones and crank them up that way. But watch out. Don't lose your hearing. Into Tomorrow.